Yeah, that's why, you know, certain religions, they present heaven as just more carnality of earth and sin without consequences. I speak of Islam. Their heaven is just sex. Hey, you know what? Honestly, for carnality's sake, that would be heaven. Nothing more heavenly than pleasure, right? No, wrong. Oneness with God. Or the Catholic, they stand in perfect contemplation of the divine essence or some nonsense. I mean, look it. I don't know what's prepared for us up there, but I'm telling you, it's wonderful. Because the sons of God become one with God. And it's not just like you just get absorbed into God and you're just like gone. I mean, there's something to be had up there. Something glorious and good. Not like a high on drugs. Where it's like, oh, wow, man, heaven. Ooh. All those earthly pleasures are nothing like the pleasures of heaven. I think it's being like, you know, imagine the most sobriety you could possibly have. But with, whatever, joy forevermore. But it's not in carnality. You know, I used to imagine, you know, maybe I go climbing the ice sheets. You know, they talk about these moons of Jupiter and all these strange worlds and planets out there. I thought, wouldn't it be cool to explore? Or maybe I wouldn't even care. They would all just be there. Or maybe I would like to. I mean, God took a body and lived on the earth. Maybe taking a body and going exploring a planet is high pleasure in the heavenly realm. I don't know. But I know this, the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a portion of things that are done under the sun. That also means they're not up in heaven looking down and watching things going on the earth. They don't know anything. They have no thoughts. These are the teachings of the scriptures. These are the teachings of Christ. Now, someone might point out to me Lazarus and the rich man. That was a parable and honestly has no reflection in reality. There's a reality that's being taught there. And I guess I'll do the book of Luke someday. But, I mean, you can't take the... See, here's the problem. Is that when you have a bunch of doctrines being instructed by the apostles and Jesus, where Jesus says plainly, this is the teaching, and this is a doctrinal passage, and then you go to something that's a parable. And don't tell me it's a literal event, because he opens up that same chapter with another parable, and it's the parable formula. He says, there was a certain man who was clothed in purple, and blah, 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 blah. There was a certain man. And it is a parable. It's not a literal truth. The truth of that parable was actually that the Pharisees pervert the truth of the prophets and they don't listen to the prophets. And the irony of the parable was that one of the truths that they pervert was the subject of where the dead are. And in Lazarus, he's using common devices taken from their own teachings to show how their teachings have taken precedent over the teachings of Moses and the prophets. That's what that parable is about. Now, maybe you can't see that, but I'm going to tell you, the testimony of Scripture overall is clearly on the side of the dead sleep. The Abraham's bosom is a Jewish fable. Abraham is dead and buried. He has not ascended into the heavens. He is both dead and buried. And so are all the dead, save one, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what about when Moses and Elijah appeared to Jesus? Maybe the Lord could have brought them up just for that time, and then they went back to sleep. Now, that's a bit of a significant digression, but it's significant. Them which are asleep, verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Not them which are in heaven, them which are asleep. And this is an assumption made throughout the New Testament. Meaning in the New Testament, this is sort of assumed. So sometimes it's sometimes a little hard to put your finger on it. Not very hard, though. I mean, there's plenty of places that testify to this. Okay? But because of a few exceptions like the thief on the cross and Lazarus the rich man, which I just explained, but the thing is, you can't take those two little exceptions and overthrow the testimony of all these other scriptures, which are one, those are circumstantial events, meaning the thief on the cross, Jesus makes this remark, but it's contradictory to other things. What he's saying is, today I'm saying to you, not today you're going to be with me in paradise. He's saying, I'm saying to you today that you will be with me in paradise. Not that today you're going to be with me in paradise, because today Jesus was dying, and as it says, his soul was not left in hell. Jesus went, it's in those creeds, he descended into hell. He did not ascend into paradise. What he's saying is he was promising that thief, the penitent thief, he was promising him the hope of resurrection for so little faith. Because God is the judge of all things. You know, he demands righteousness. But he can impute righteousness on the basis of a single statement of faith at death like that. He can. But don't you count on it. You who live wickedly and wickedly in your heart say, well, I'll live good most of my life. I mean, I live bad. I live like the devil and then repent at the last second. You think you're going to pull that over on God? That's not a loophole. It's an exception. You think he's going to make an exception for you who mock him? That might have been the only moment in that thief. He might have been 17 years old, you know? Doesn't say how old he was. But Christ accepted him. But he wants us to come to repentance. Let's stay on the subject of the dead. We have hope. Verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Oh, no. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them which are in heaven in Jesus will God bring with them. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Well, of course it doesn't make any sense. They sleep in Jesus, meaning they have died and have been laid to rest in the ground. We use all these analogies. Laid to rest, the big sleep. Because death is unconsciousness, thoughtlessness. You are out, man. And death, as a friend says, is a stronghold. And God is the only one who has the power to break that hold. Death is not you float away and up to God. There is a resurrection coming. If you deny the resurrection, and honestly, Paul talks about those who have erred concerning the faith, saying that the resurrection is past. And if you say that people are in heaven now you are saying the resurrection is already happening and that it's past. You are. And you are guilty of that sin. If you say people are already in heaven, then they're already raised.